Today on Real Life Radio.
You are so accepted by God because of what Jesus did. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I did this weekend. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. But Jesus knows. And he says, hey, you know what? Come to me. I'll deal with that sin. I'll wash it away. Come on in. He never leaves anybody out on the porch. Come on in.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know that the Bible has a lot to say about the future? Our future. It's called Bible prophecy. And never before have current events come together so perfectly as to align with biblical prophecy. That's why I want to tell you that on Sunday, June 26th, Pastor Jack's going to have a special event that you're really going to want to be a part of. It's called Israel, Russia, and the Coming Global Reset. What's next on God's prophetic time clock, and what can we expect to see happen? The event will stream live on all Sunday services, so mark your calendars right now for June 26th at 8 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 1 p.m. Pacific Time for a very special Bible prophecy update from Pastor Jack Hibbs. To find out more, visit jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series on the book of Revelation with a message called Take Your Positions, Everyone, Part 2. Now, here in chapter 15, the scene is set for the coming of the seven judgments of the Great Tribulation period. You see, these final verses of chapter 15 usher in the final judgments of God, a time when whatever position the world takes is now set. God's been gracious, and he's been slow to anger, but his grace and mercy has come to an end for those who have rejected him. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the will of God is complete in every way, including his judgment. Rejecting Jesus is denying the fact that Jesus not only lived a perfect life, but died a perfect death as a sacrifice for all of our sins. Now in his message called Take Your Positions, Everyone, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The amazing thing about this truth, John sees something that for the Jewish mind is so incredibly attractive to him. Because John himself, the Apostle John, was never allowed into the earthly temple. We're talking about the actual Holy of Holies. Remember when Jesus died on the cross? The Bible says there was a great earthquake and the veil of the temple from top to bottom was torn from top to bottom. By the way, that fabric of tapestry, I forget how high it was, but it's been estimated to be somewhere around 8 stories high. Tapestry sewn together 6 inches thick. Can you imagine how heavy that would be? Could any man tear it? It's impossible. Not only that, if a man's going to tear it, he's going to tear it from the bottom up. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the moment Jesus says, it is finished, and he dismissed his spirit, the ground began to shake. The temple curtain that kept man out of the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem, God in that second declared, I am done with this show. It's over on earth. No man will meet me on earth again. When man meets me from this moment on by virtue of the death of my son, he will worship me in spirit and in truth. He will come before my throne because when my son died, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, letting all mankind in. This is radical thinking. The Jew would have covered his mouth, thrown dust in the air, and torn his clothes at the thought of the veil being torn. Why? When it ripped, it said, God said, all men, the invitation goes out to the world, come to me. When that veil rent, God said, now it's open to all people. Can you imagine the religious person? Can you imagine maybe the Pharisees of that day, after that earthquake shook, screaming, panicking? No one's supposed to look in there. Get the seamstresses together. Get staples. Get glue. Do something. Put the curtain up. God says, no more. No more relating to me on any legalistic manner. any exclusive manner whereby one man will come into my presence representing all of the people. No, no, each man will come freely of his own will. That is a great thing. But man rejected that. And in the tribulation period, God will bring his righteous judgment. John sees what every Jew would have longed to have seen. Listen to what Dr. Henry Morris writes about this. It is significant that these rare glimpses into the heavenly temple which God has given us in the book of Revelation also shows us that it is an open temple, meaning now that there is nothing to keep man from the presence of God if he comes through Jesus Christ. It is the resurrected human flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, which is now the veil that both contains the glory of God and conceals its unapproachable brilliance from sinful man. Jesus is life now. Jesus is skin, resurrected. Christ is the veil. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19 to 22 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Church, look, we don't get this. You know what? We don't understand this. If I were to read this verse right here, chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 19, if I were to stand and read this in Israel today, people would either start crying with joy or they'd pick up stones to kill me. It's one way or the other. The Bible says, listen, you have the boldness now. So act like it. You have the boldness to enter into the holiest place of all, the presence of God. Why don't we spend more time praying and worshiping and walking in the Spirit? Think about it. By a new and living way, verse 20, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. Remember that veil? That is to say, his flesh. And now, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Speaking of the Bible, the Word of God. Come boldly. You don't need to tiptoe into the presence of God anymore. This week, I was having a meeting, and my door was shut here at the church. We were having a meeting, and my daughter, she peeked through the window, and she's looking, and she needed to talk to me. And I motioned to her to come on in. She came on in, and I said, Ashley, don't ever knock on my door again. Ever. And don't peek through the window. If you want to talk to me, I don't care what's going on in this office. You come right in. Don't you stop. You walk straight in here. That's how it is in the family of God. When the Lord says, look, what I did on the cross opened the way. It rent the veil of the earth. The temple came crashing down, so to speak. It opened the door when I died to let all men in. And when we walk in, we should just walk in. Hi, Dad. Hi, Dad. I need $5 for lunch. Hey, Lord, I need $5 to pay my mortgage. Whatever it is, right? We don't need to knock. Lord, can I talk to you now? If you prayed like that, Lord, can I bother you? Remember, he's the one that said, call me Father. Not only that, he said, call me Abba. And I love it. And when you say Abba, in fact, if you have an Italian Bible, when it comes to that word Abba, do you know what it is in Italian? Papa. Call me Papa. So tender, isn't it? Don't you see the kids crawling up into the lap of a jolly, happy, loving dad? And he says, call me Papa. That's about as tender as you can get. God says, come here. What are you standing out there for? Get in here. I love that. You are so accepted by God because of what Jesus did. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I did this weekend. I don't want to know. But Jesus knows. And he says, hey, you know what? Come to me. I'll deal with that sin. I'll wash it away. Come on in. He never leaves anybody out on the porch. Come on in. His wrath is measured, verse 7. Then one of the four living creatures gave the seven angels seven golden bowls, those trays full. This word in Greek means that it has been measured out, listen, to the nth degree. Not one bit of wrath too much, not one bit of wrath too less. Perfect judgment. Because God is merciful. God is righteous. God is holy. And he will not judge the world one moment beyond, and he cannot judge the world one moment less, because he is absolutely holy, which we cannot even begin to fathom. Verse 8 brings us to the fifth and final point. It is the will of God. Take your positions. Everyone is the message. Remember, everything's put into place. The will of God. The will of God is perfect, my friend, in all of its ways. It says in verse 8, the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. The world has never seen such glory. The world has never seen such power. And because they haven't seen it, the only way you can't even begin to entertain it is if we sit and meditate as Christians upon the Word of God, which is a lost art today. We don't sit and meditate upon the Bible. We need to take a verse and listen, read it slowly, speak it, close our eyes, speak it out in our private devotional time. For God so loved the world. To meditate on that would be like this: for God, for, because, on the account of. It is a fact, a truth undeniable. God, the glory of God, the nature of God, the righteousness of God, God himself. For God so loved, not God loved, he so loved. I love you versus I so love you. Hear the difference? For God so loved. God is love. Lord, I need love. I don't care if this morning you're the littlest, frailest guy or the biggest woman, or the littlest woman or the biggest guy, how macho you might be or how wimpy you might be. Every one of us requires love to function. And God says, I so love you. How much? That at Christmas, I gave. You didn't earn it. You didn't ask for it. I thought of it myself. I gifted you my eternal, exclusive, forever, prized possession. The one alone who's exalted. The Word is begotten. My begotten Son, that whosoever, who? Whosoever. Well, who's that? Who? Who you? Who? Did I just turn green when I said that? I don't know if God would save me and God would forgive me for all the stuff that's gone on in my life. You are a who. Whosoever. Will you? Yes. Then you are a whosoever. Will you cry out to him? Then whosoever would believe on him. The word belief here in John 3:16 is to run up and throw yourself into a seat. You never run up to a seat and go, oh, I hope it can hold me. No, you throw yourself onto a seat because you don't even think about it. And when you walked in this morning, did you go, I don't know if this seat can hold me? You didn't think about it, huh? You want to know why? You trusted completely in that seat. You say, well, I didn't even think about it. That's it. If you walk around going, I got to trust the Lord. Oh, I got to trust God. Is he trustworthy? I think, yeah, I got to trust the Lord. You're hurting. You need your faith pumped up. Because to trust him is to just walk up and to sit down. That's what that word believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. See, we're meditating right now in this service. We are meditating on the Word of God. John 3:16. You can spend 30, 40 minutes sitting like this. And you know what happens? If you do what I'm just showing you quickly right here, right now, you will walk out of your bathroom or your closet or your bedroom or your living room or wherever you're at, your office, you'll come out glowing. That's what happened to Moses. He was in the presence of God, came down and put a bag over his face. The unknown prophet. Because he was glowing and he didn't want the people of Israel to see his face from shining. Oh, I say, take off the bag. Just take the bag off and shine. And so shine that even this unbelieving pagan world would glorify God. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 through 5. Ready? Now, this is the main point of which the things we say to you are. We have such a high priest. By the way, it's the high of the highest. Ain't no other. Okay? Who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, or the true temple, which the Lord erected, and not man. For every high priest is appointed, that is appointed by man, to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one, capital O, one, Jesus, also have something to offer. Verse 4, Hebrews chapter 8. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the things in heaven. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, God said, see to it that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. The pattern. God showed Moses, go down and make the Ark of the Covenant and the layout of the Holy of Holies exactly as you've seen the vision that I showed you of the one in heaven. It's a copy. Anything on earth is just a copy. Are you with me? You understand that? It's just a copy. Well, yeah, but I've been to the Vatican. I have too. Oh, but I saw the holy door. I was right there. I knocked on it. It didn't open, but I knocked on it. Oh, but I saw all this and I saw all that. Or I've been to the Russian Orthodox Church or the Greek Orthodox Church. I understand that. But God says those are just copies of what's eternal that lasts forever. Okay? Why mess around with a copy when you can go direct? Why would you fly Southwest Airlines to New York and stop 45 times when you could fly from LA to New York on a direct flight? Go direct. For there is one mediator, the Bible says, between mankind and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Fly direct. When you say, Lord, he's going, yes! Go direct. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 2, down to verse 14. For a tabernacle was prepared. This is the one of the earth that Moses built. The first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies, or the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid. Remember that? Spielberg made a great model of it. In Indiana Jones, very, very accurate. And all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that had budded, and the tablets of the covenant or the Ten Commandments. And above it were the cherubim, that's the two angels, of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, that's the lid to the box. Of these things we cannot speak in detail. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year. That's the Holy of Holies. Only once a year he was allowed in there. And not without blood. He had to go in there with blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Verse 8. The Holy Spirit was indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifested while the first temple was standing, or the first tabernacle. The one of the earth. Look at Hebrews 9:9. It will blow your mind. Why? It was symbolic for the present time in which gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect or forgiven in regard to his conscience. Verse 11. But Jesus Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with human hands, that is not of this world, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the holy place once and for all. Once. Jesus offered up himself one time. He only had to die once. That's why the Christian cross never has Jesus on the cross. Did you know that? He offered himself once on the cross. The Christian cross never has Jesus crucified on the cross. It's always a bare cross because he's not offered up again and again. The Bible says he offered himself up once, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean and sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit offered himself without spot to God the Father, there's the Trinity mentioned right there, by the way, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Did anybody get that? Do you got that? How glorious is this? We can be camping in the desert and enter into the presence of God. You can be sitting on your surfboard and enter into the presence of God. All you have to do is say, Father, and imagine in your mind's eye, all of a sudden, Father, and wham, the street opens up before you. Angels are there. The glory of God shines. There's a molten sea of glass with the illumination of fire beneath, the presence of God. Father, in this glory, he says, Jack, come up here, buddy. How are you? Come here. Talk to me. Don't ever knock on the door again, you silly nut. Get on in here. What would you have me to do for you, Jack? You need power? Holy Spirit, come upon him today and strengthen him. You need the word? I'll call it to your remembrance. I'll give you what to say in that moment, Jack, when you don't have a moment to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. I'll give you a moment. In that moment, I'll give you what to say for me. What do you need? Assurance? I'll never leave you or forsake you. You having some doubts? My thoughts toward you are for good, to bring your life to a full, complete, glorious end. What's that? You've sinned? If you confess your sin to me, I'm faithful and just to cleanse you from your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What's that? Feeling kind of old and creaky and tired? Don't you know, Jack, remember that this mortal shall put on immortality, Jack. Remember that where you're going, there's neither tear nor pain nor death. And should somebody come with a sword and place it on my neck to cut my head off, the Lord says to me, as he said to Paul, don't worry about it. For laid up for you is a crown of righteousness that the righteous judge, I, will give you. And not only you, Jack, but to all those who have loved my appearing. Cheer up. Though the world might cut your head off, I'm going to put a crown upon it. You know, he said that to Paul, and Paul was going to go get beheaded. And what? I mean, I mean this with all due respect. It's as though God had a sense of humor. Rome had announced to Paul, hey, Paul, your head's going to roll. And God said, oh, yeah, I'm going to put a crown on it. Now, I'm sure Paul was not thinking, well, what good is a crown when your head's 6 feet over there? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Take Your Positions, Everyone, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. Take Your Positions, Everyone, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, you guys, Jack Hibbs here, and I want to encourage you to get your hands on Disciplines of a Godly Man by R. Kent Hughes. Don't think it's just a guy's book, everybody. This is a great book to get your hands on if you're a woman looking for a godly man, what to look for, and if you're a man wanting to be a godly man, this book will walk you through the disciplines of a godly man.
Disciplines of a Godly Man. It's available when you give a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.